Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Oh, praise you, Lord. Our whole life. Amen. Not gonna hold anything back. Gonna give it all. Amen. Gonna open up my whole life to the Lord and say, have your way. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Oh, that sounds so good. Amen. You know, some of y'all have been, and myself included, I'm not pointing fingers. We're all in this together. Amen. But the reason why things haven't been going that well is because you keep holding back some things from the Lord. Amen. You keep holding on to that offense, which the Bible says that's a trap. You're offended. And you probably have reason to be offended, but you've got to ask yourself, am I going to let what happened continue to ruin every year and keep me from what God has for me and keep me from the relationships that God has for me, keep me from the plan of God that God has for me because I'm offended? You say, well, it wasn't fair, it wasn't right. You're probably right. It wasn't fair and it wasn't right. But it happened. We live in a world with imperfect people that make mistakes, or maybe you just don't understand the whole situation and you can't see it for what it is because of the offense. Either way, you got to make a decision to say, all right, I've let that steal enough time from me. There's a call of God on my life. God's got things for me to do. I got to get over it. Amen? You know, we've all had opportunity to be hurt in church. And I don't know why we're going this direction, but here we go. Everybody, let me tell you a little story. Years ago, when Believers Victory Church had first started, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of us. There's only a few of us. Some of us are still here. But one year for Halloween, we decided for the first time that we were going to do a fall festival kind of a thing. We were so small back then that we were going to do it in the garage of somebody's house. And my friend and I worked really hard. We put the whole thing together. I mean, we worked really hard. We'd never done anything like it before, but we were like, we're going to do this. We're going to do it well. We're going to do it right. And 2 days before Halloween, Pastor Mark came to me and said, you know what? I'm going to have somebody else do it. Somebody new to the church who knows more than you do about children's ministry. Now, was that fair? Was that right? No. You can say it. No. But it happened. It happened. Did it hurt my feelings? Of course it did. My friend, we had worked really hard. We had, like, you know, and that was before the internet. You know, you couldn't just Google fall festival games. There was no Google. That's how old I am. There was no Google. You had to, like, call people and look up, go buy magazines. There was no internet. You couldn't look stuff up like that. It was a lot different. It was a whole lot of work. But, you know, I had a choice to make in that moment. I had a choice. My friend and I, we had a choice. Were we going to be offended, bent out of shape, put our pout on, amen, and let it ruin the future for us? Did I agree with the decision? Absolutely not. But did I show up and support that woman? Absolutely. Did I eat it when everybody said, I thought you were doing this? I said, well, you know, this person has so much experience and I'm just so excited that she's here. I had to put down that part of me that wanted to be like, this isn't right. And you know what? I'm so glad that I learned from good examples that people are imperfect. And people make mistakes, and not everybody makes the right decision every time. But we do the best we can. And when we blow it, when we mess up, you know what? The Bible says love covers. Love believes the best. Love bears all things. Love is patient. Love is kind. We have a choice to make. And so many of you, this is by the Holy Ghost, I would never normally, we have two services. First service did not go this way. But I tell you what, so many people are not doing what God has them to do because your feelings are hurt. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to get your feelings hurt again and again. And you're going to get left out. And you're not going to get invited to something. And somebody's going to be more talented than you. And somebody's going to get picked when you thought it should be you. Something is going to happen. It always does. Because we are with a bunch of people. It happens to us, and unfortunately, we do it too. We mess up and don't include people that we should. Because we're not perfect. But I'll tell you what, let's make this year be the year that we stop letting offenses keep us from doing what God's called us to do. Amen? Amen. Let's let this year be the year that we grow up and mature, put our big girl pants on, amen? And say, all right now, that wasn't cool, but I'm going to press on. Amen? I'm going to press on. Because you know what? When I mess up and I don't do the right thing, I'm going to want somebody to press on with me anyway. Amen? Amen? And so I'm going to sow it. So when I blow it, I reap it.
That's
right.
Doesn't
that sound good?
Yes.
And so that's just all free. That's just unction of the Holy Ghost. Just encourage us. Let's this year be the year that we get over some stuff. Because you know what? Stuff happens. If you're looking for a perfect church and perfect pastor and perfect team, keep looking. And when you find it, I'll go there. Amen? I'll go to church with you when you find it. You know what? You know where we're going to find that? We're going to find that in heaven. Amen?
Yes.
But for here, let's just make a point this year. I'm going to love you and you love me. And so now all your minds are going, man, I wonder what happened. I have no idea. That's the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Amen? That's the Holy Ghost. And so let's let this year be the year that we say, you know what? I'm going to push through. You know, if I hadn't have pushed through back then, because that was the first time. That was the first time. Amen. That was the first time something like that happened. And if I hadn't have pushed through then in the beginning, I'd never be here. I'd never be here. Because there's always something that's going to stop you. There's always a reason to sit home. There's always a reason to say, meh. There's always a reason for that, because we're people. But you know what? There's a bigger reason to push through, and that's my whole life is yours. Have your way in me, Lord. Have your way. My life is yours, Lord. My life is yours, and I'm going to be and do what you've called me to be and do, no matter what other people be and do. Amen? I'm going to do it. And so I just want to encourage you today. I'm talking on, last night I was, you know, just getting ready and was going to talk on prayer today, but just the Lord just changed our direction a little bit. And before we go, let's give this away before I forget. Oh, now hello. Bone, where did we get these? These are new. Oh, hold on now. This is good at Outback Bonefish Grill, Fleming's, we don't have those, Carrabba's. Wow. Well, let's just keep going here. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. All right, now if you're visiting with us today, we're givers. Look at your neighbor and say, we're givers. You go to a generous church, amen? Not just in giving stuff away, but you go to a generous church. We're a giving church, amen? We're a giving church. And so every Sunday we like to do something fun just for being nice to the parking people and taking a ticket and walking from down the street. We like to give something away. So here we go. Here's our big winner, Bonefish Grill Dinner. Or Carrabba's. 108-266.
Uh-oh.
All right. Now that's my kind of winner. She's back there jumping up, you know, just bouncing on her seat.
Exciting.
Yeah, that's exciting. Now, you can't go there today, Virginia. We're having fried chicken today. Yeah. We got our big church picnic, so we got to hurry up here a little bit. We've got to want to let everybody know, too, that we've got over 300 pieces of fresh fried budge chicken coming. But you know what the really good thing about it is that Dave Witte, who has worked for Bud's Chicken and Seafood, he's not here so we can talk about him. He's worked for Bud's Chicken and Seafood. He was in first service for like 25 years, and he's just such a blessing. And he's in first service. You guys may not know who he is, but we always order our chicken from him. And this year we called to say, how much is it? And you know what he said? He said, it's an offering. So he not only cooked it, he paid for it. Isn't that awesome? So that's blessed. Amen. So I know now I'm talking about chicken, we're all hungry. So let's give God about 15 minutes. Let's give him our attention. Let's get something. We're already here. We're gonna get something from God, right? I believe this is a message that will change 2014 if you let it. If you listen. If you don't listen, then you're going to check out and you're going to distract people around you. You're going to get the eye from people. Yeah. You know? I had a couple people complain a little bit about, you know, people just talking. And so, you know, listen, if you're here to talk, go sit in the foyer. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Right? Yeah. If you're here to get something from God, sit here. Amen. We'll love you the same either way. And we'll pass the offering bag by you, whether you're in here or you're out there.
We'll get to you somehow.
That's right.
We'll get to you.
Oh, you know I'm funny. Anyway, all right, let's keep going here. But let's just give God some attention here. But last night I was just praying, and I was going to talk on prayer because we talked a lot about fasting last week. And I know a lot of you guys are fasting. I just want to encourage you to just keep doing it. You know, and just remind yourself why you're doing it. Yes. You know, I mean, I tell you what, I am jonesing for an unsweetened iced tea like you would not believe.
Glory.
I want one so bad. And then yesterday I come home. I was here at church for a while yesterday. The roofers were working. I was here and I went home and my husband's sitting on the couch and he says to me, I got you an iced tea. And I'm like, I said, why would you buy me an iced tea? And he's like, it's in the fridge. And then I'm like, babe, just like that, babe, I'm fasting iced tea. He's like, oh, I forgot. So I went and I opened up the refrigerator and the angels sang, ooh. Because there it sat right there. And I had a moment of decision. My hand was on it. It was just so delicious looking. And I grabbed it, took the lid off, threw it in the sink. I was like, oh, you know, I made it. So then this morning, I go back and Ben buys me one.
Testing.
What is wrong with these guys? I was like, come on. But you know what? You say, well, what's the big deal? Because you know what? I'm not going to die without iced tea.
That's right.
I'm not going to die. You know what? It's my want to.
Yes.
My want. Yes. My want wants an iced tea. Just like your want wants some coffee or whatever it is you're fasting. I'm praying for you coffee fasters. But you know what? We're putting that down. And if you don't understand fasting, listen to the message from last week, because all it does, it just says, you know what, I'm not going to die with that. I'm just going to tell myself, no, you can't have it. And it builds my spirit man up, makes my spirit man stronger. So if you're on, I just encourage you, stay on, because your flesh is getting weaker, you know. Pastor Devon sent me a funny text. He's fasting a few things, and he sent me a funny text. He said, the flesh dies, but oh, it's so slow. And I said, you're telling me. So we're fasting all TV at our house. So our house is like silent, you know. But we're going to make it. You're going to make it. Amen. We're going to come out stronger. But we've made some declarations this year. And you know what? If you think about it, there is no reason. You can't tell me a reason. There is no reason the 2014 can't be the best year of your life. We got a God who loves us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. Yes. Amen. We've got a God who is faithful to His Word. He said if He promised it, He'll make sure it comes to pass. Amen. We got a God who forgives us, redeems us, restores us, heals us, delivers us. Amen. What reason is there not for this year to be the best year ever? There's no reason. Now, immediately your mind is going, Will, and you're naming like mistakes you've made or things you've done, but I've got some good word for you. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, while you're turning there, you can just look up here on the screen. But we're going to make some declarations today. And so I did look up the definition for declaration. You have that for me? There it is. It's a formal or explicit statement or announcement, but it's a noun. It's something. Yeah. Amen? And you know what? Today, we're going to make some declarations about 2014. We're going to declare some things. And the Bible says when you declare a thing, it is so. Amen? And you know what? Just like the Declaration of Independence, and this whole message came because last night I was doing laundry, and out of the dryer came my Declaration t-shirt. And I started thinking, like, what am I declaring? What am I declaring for this year? What am I expecting? What am I proclaiming that this will be how this year will be? Amen? And so, you know what? We need to do that. We need to say, this is how this is going to be. But just like the Declaration of Independence, when our forefathers, when they wrote that beautiful, amazing document, that declaration, they were declaring, this is how our nation will be. These are the things that we hold dear. This is the life that we want for all of our people. This is our Declaration of Independence. And you know what? Just like that declaration was made so many years ago and we still live by it. Amen. We need to declare some things right now in the Spirit and live by them and have them come to pass in our life. We need to declare what this year is going to be. And I tell you what, I declare it's going to be the best year. Amen, the best year. And it should be. And you know what? Next year, 2015, that'll be even better. Because that's how we're supposed to live. You know, doing more things for God, growing in knowledge of Him, understanding His will, His presence in a greater way. Doesn't that sound good? And so here we go. For everybody who's like, well, I don't know. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13 and 14. And you know, this is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, but here's something very interesting. He wrote this from a jail cell, a Roman jail cell. He was getting ready for his execution. And yet here he is, and this is so amazing. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet. See, he's still got some optimism. Amen. Still got some faith. He's in jail, getting ready to get executed. And he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, say one thing.
One thing.
One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love that. He says, you know, listen, I haven't got it all yet. He says, but one thing I do, one thing, forgetting what is behind. I love this word. Straining towards what is ahead. Man, if you're going to get what God has for you, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to stretch for it. Amen? But you know, here, listen, we've all got some stuff from our past we need to forget.
Yes.
We've all made bad decisions. We've all made, you know, I mean, we could all go around the room and talk about things that we bought that we shouldn't have, money we spent that we shouldn't have, things we said that we shouldn't have, times where we wasted time, or just poor decisions. Cars we bought that we shouldn't have, right? Anybody ever have an Ishmael in your life where you're just like, what in the world? You know, I won't name their name, but somebody had one. We all called it Ishmael, which was really mean of us to do that, but we all did. You know, and Ishmael's just a wrong choice. And so, you know, we all have that stuff. But Paul's saying here, and maybe you're saying, you know, God can't turn this around. God can't turn around where I'm at right now. He can't turn this to where I can live the life God has for me. You know what? Let's look at the guy who's writing this and the guy who lived it. We're talking about Paul. If we look back into his past, you know what we find? We find somebody who was so misguided, but was so vigilant to what he believed, that his sole desire and life's purpose was to destroy the church. He went from chasing down the disciples to kill them. He went from chasing them down to joining them and preaching with them. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, God can't restore what's happened to me. Nobody will ever have respect for me. Nobody will ever see me any differently. I want you to look at what happened with Paul. He was a Christian killer. But as he got with God and as he forgot those things and strained toward the call of God in his life, he became one of the greatest leaders of the body of Christ to ever live. God can turn anything around. Amen. God can turn any life around, any situation, any screw up, any mess up. He can turn it around. Amen. But you got to do what Paul did. You got to forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Amen. Turn over in your Bibles to Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. If we're going to have the best year ever, we got to get a hold of this verse right here. We got to get a hold of what we need to do. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, forget the former things. Now that word forget, it doesn't mean pretend they never happened. It means neglect. Quit talking about it. Let it go. If you got a divorce 5 years ago, it's 5 years later. Let's move on. Amen? Or even last year, you say, well, God's got to heal. Yes, God will heal you. But you know what? If you keep speaking your same brokenhearted story over and over again, you're not letting God heal you because you're stuck in the old thing, and God's saying, I want to do a new thing. Yes. Amen? You got to change your tune. You got to change your tune. Yes. And you know, and that goes for the glory days, too. You ever get around a bunch of people, and even believers? You know, I was years ago, I remember being with a group, and we're all sitting around talking, and they started talking about their heyday of when they were drinking and partying and all this kind of stuff. And as I sat there, I they were like, don't you have any stories? And I was like, unfortunately, yes, I do have stories. I said, but man, that is the old me. That part of me is dead. I don't want to relive that. I was there. I did those things. It led me nowhere but down the tubes. I'm not going to relive that like it was something gloried. You know, or it was something good. Did funny things happen? Sure they did. But you know what? I never woke up the next morning feeling refreshed and feeling forgiven and feeling on fire for God. I woke up with a bunch of regret and thinking, what in the world? Sometimes literally, what in the world did I do last night? I don't want to relive that. I don't want to give glory to that. I want to forget that. I want to neglect that. That's not part of me anymore. And you know what? And that's what the Bible is saying here. It's saying, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And then God says this. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Listen, it's so good. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God's saying he's going to come through for you. But we got, God's a now God. You ever notice that? Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is. We read here, he says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. God is not interested in what has happened in the past. He wants to heal you, restore you, redeem you, and move you on. Yes. Amen? Yes. Now God is doing a new thing. And you know what? When we think about this, and I want to ask you today, what's the one thing, what one thing in your life for 2014 you're like, man, if this changed in my life would be so different. If this changed, my life would be so different. What is that for you? I got some categories here. Maybe it has to do with your habits. Maybe you got some habits that you need to break. You know? Maybe you're taking a prescription medication and you don't need it anymore. You know what I'm saying? You don't need that anymore. But you're still taking it. Because it's become a habit. We're not casting stones here, man. I'm trying to help you. Maybe, you know, it could be lots of things. Maybe it's the internet. You've stumbled over into places you don't need to be. Seeing stuff you don't need to see. And now it's a habit and you're having a hard time stopping. Is it a habit? Something you're just like, you know, and it doesn't even have to be something like that. You know, the internet, that's a habit for us. You know, we've gotten to the point where a lot of times it's just sucking time. You know, something doesn't have to be bad for it to be a bad thing for you. It doesn't have to be a big sin for it to not be good for you. And being on the internet too much is not good for any of us. Right? Or maybe it's in the area of relationships. You're like, you know, if this one relationship, if this could change, man, my life would be so different. My marriage. You know, in marriage, we start out like this. Year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Called 7-year itch, you know. Suddenly you find yourself, you don't feel as close anymore. Listen, you need to take care of that. You need to deal with that. You need to deal with what's going on. Let's let this year be the year that we change that. Instead of, you know, maybe you look back on 2013, you think, man, nothing really changed for me. Everything was the same. Well, let's not say that this year. Let's let this year be the year that we say, you know what? I took care of that one thing. Or maybe it's with your finances. Maybe this is a year you're getting out of debt. Changing how you spend money. Getting a plan. Having a budget. Knowing how much money you have. It's amazing how people have no idea how much money they have or don't have. Listen, a lot of times it's not about having money, or you always think, oh, I need more money. Most of the time the answer is not more money. Most of the time the answer is handling the money you have better. I can't tell you how many times I've met with people and they're like, if we just had a little more money every month, we'd be so much better off. And then, you know, we'll pray, we'll believe God, and they'll get a raise and that much money will come in. A few months down the road, they're still in the same place. Because this isn't about the money. It's about how we handle money. So how we deal with it. Let's let this year be the year that we're not stuck in that hamster wheel and we jump off and say, I've made a declaration, I'm making a change. Amen? You know, I was here yesterday and I was in the back. It's, you know, nobody's at the church. I'm in the back by the Connection Center. I'm looking at all these books. We got like Believer's Authority. We got some books on relationships and marriage that have been there for months. And I'm thinking to myself, I know that there are people in our church body whose marriages need help, and yet here these books sit on this counter. Let's let this year be the year that we read the book. Amen? Let's let this year be the year that we don't just keep being roommates, but we become husband and wife again. Amen? We get close again. Let's let this year be the year that we work on our relationships. Your marriage is worth the effort. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something from not my experience, thank God, but from a lot of people I know experience. Don't think that, oh, I'll do it later. Because you know what? I can't tell you how many times I have held the hand of somebody as they have cried their eyes out, as they have sat in a puddle of tears of regret because they wouldn't change and wouldn't do anything, and finally somebody said, I'm done. Don't be that person. Let's this year be the year that we say, I'm making a declaration. I'm going to do something different. Amen? I'm going to do something different. But you know, when we think about this and we think about our habits and relationships and our finances, our marriages, our kids, when we think about all this kind of stuff, you know, we also need to think about our dreams. Amen? What's God stirring on the inside of you? What's God? He's stirring something in you saying, man, you are made for more than just getting up and going to work and coming home and making dinner and putting the dishes in the dishwasher, watching 2 hours of TV and going to bed and getting up and doing it all again. You are made for more than that. Yeah. Amen? You are an amazing being that God Himself created in His image. You are made for more. Amen? If you are bored with life, it's because you're not doing what God has told you to do. And that's the truth. That's the truth. You're made for more than that. But we got to make a declaration to get off the couch and say, I'm doing it. Amen? I'm doing it. I got something in me. You got something in you. You've got something in you, and God is stirring it and saying, come on, let's do what I've made you to do. You're made for something. Let's let this be the year that we get up and say, I'm doing it. I'm gonna teach that small group. Amen? I'm going to have my own small group. I'm going to read the Bible through all the way through this year. I'm going to draw so close to God this year. I'm going to step out and talk to my family members about Jesus this year. I'm going to start tithing this year. I'm going to do some bold stuff this year. Let's let this be the year that we say, I'm going to do something different. Amen? I'm going to do something different because there is no reason why this year can't be the best year. There's no reason. Can you think of one reason? Because if you tell me something, you know what I'm going to tell you? Because your little mind's going, I got something. Let me tell you something. You got nothing. And here's how I know that. Because whatever you can name, you know what I'm going to tell you? The name of Jesus is above that.
Woo! Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Whatever you name, whatever you tell me, well, this reason, and this reason, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, the name of Jesus, the power of God, the love of God, that is so much bigger than everything you're saying. The only thing that can stop us from having the best year ever is us. Amen? And I'll tell you what, it's burning in my spirit. It is strong in me. I'm going to push you so hard towards the things that God has for you. You know, I feel like the Lord has told me to put my hands on some of you in a good way. In a good way. Because I have felt like he's told me to put my hands on you before, not in a good way. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking with you. But to be a little more pushy. I'm not a pushy person. It's not my personality at all. I'm just kind of like, hey, how you doing? All right, well, I'll speak the truth to you, but then I'll usually let you go a little bit. But I see myself in the Spirit. As your pastor, just taking you and reminding you, you're made for more than this, my friend. You got something big on the inside of you. Your marriage is worth you getting off the couch and getting your act together. Amen? Your kids are worth you putting down that bottle. Amen? Let's go. Let's go. We got stuff to do. Amen? And so I tell you, some people have been riding on the sideline, and you need to get back in the game. Amen? Amen? Get back in the game. It's time to get back in the game. Amen. And you know what? We've been praying. We pray here every morning. We're doing our 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I encourage you, don't just do the fast without the prayer. Amen. It goes together. Amen. Prayer and fasting go together. But we've been praying, and one of the things the Lord, you know, that's what this time is for, to kind of show us things in the Spirit. And as we fast, our spirit man gets stronger. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I see very clearly in the Spirit these last few days is just a push. A push to say, let's get back in the game. You're made for more than that. You're made for more than what you're living. And so we've been praying Colossians over a lot of you guys. And that is where the Bible tells us in Colossians 1, Paul is writing a prayer. He's praying. And I've been praying that prayer that Paul prayed over you, praying that God would continually show you what he wants to do in your life. Because our whole life is his. What does God want to do? Especially you young people. I've been calling out your name on my face, praying and asking God to show you what he wants to do in your life. I don't care what you want to do. I care what he wants to do. Amen? I care what he wants to do. So here's three declarations I want us to make this year. Want us to make today. All right? Ready? Number one declaration. Let's declare. Let's make a declaration that we're going to make the most of 2014. We're going to make the most of it. Amen? We are going to make the most of it. I heard somebody say this the other day. I didn't hear it personally, but I believe the person. They said that Kenneth Copeland was preaching and said that he doesn't know why Jesus hasn't returned because everything that needs to happen according to the Bible has happened. Yes. And I tell you what, when I heard that, because I have great respect for Kenneth Copeland, I think he knows a thing or two. When I heard that, I kind of was like, it's like I got a magnet on my refrigerator that says, Jesus is coming, look busy. But you know what, when I heard that, when they told me Kenneth Copeland said that, because I believe he's a prophet of God, you know what I said to myself? Jesus is coming, I got to get busy. Yeah. Amen, I got to get busy. Because there's a lost and dying world out there, I got to get busy. You got to get busy too. Amen, because we're going to stand before Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, I live to hear, well done. In order to hear well done, you got to do something. We're not talking how you're cooked. We're talking about what you did. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know who gets called servants? People that serve. People that serve get called servants. And so when they said that, I just kind of was like, wow. Okay, let's get busy. Amen. So let's declare 2014, I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to make the most of it. I don't want to have a repeat year. How many have had repeat years? Where it's just one year and looks just like the year before. I don't want to have that. I want a new thing. Next declaration we want to make. Remember, a declaration, we're saying, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. Let's declare, I have declared to get rid of distractions. We got it up there, guys? I have declared to get rid of distractions. You know, there are some things that are just a distraction. There are people that are distractions. There are people that you have put so much time, energy, and effort into them, they have not changed at all.
Yep, that's true.
They're just a distraction. And you know what? You need to pray and ask the Lord, but it might be time to move on. Now, I'm not talking about your spouse. You're stuck with them. Amen. If you said I do, then you keep doing. I'm talking about, you know, just people in our lives or distractions. And so, you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Here's what I want you to see. The race marked out for us. God has a race marked out for you. Amen. He's got a race marked out for you. He's got a life marked out for you. But if you keep getting distracted with all this stuff that doesn't have anything to do with him, it's going to be a long race. You're not going to get where you need to be. So, and you know, we talk about distractions. We're just talking about stuff that pulls us away from the life that God has for us. Now, don't go home and be like, these dirty dishes are a distraction. You know? Tell your husband, I'm sorry, I can't wash those dishes anymore. They are a distraction. No, I'll tell you what distraction. You know what's a distraction? Stuff like television is a distraction. Remember, too much of anything is not a good thing. You know, there's something we just got to turn some stuff off and say, you know what, I need to focus on the Lord a little more. And that's one of the things fasting is going to help us do. And the last thing, this is so good, declaration we want to make today. Let's make a declaration to prioritize the presence of Christ in our lives. Let's make that more important than anything. Amen? Let's make that more important than anything. Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says, this is Paul writing again. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. You know, some of the things we think are valuable, you know, and listen, let's just think about what we think as a society is valuable. You know, winners are valuable. Who won something? And I'm not against sports or anything like that, but if sports takes the place of Jesus, if it's the priority is out of whack, then everything's going to be out of whack. Because, you know, remember those one things we want to get going? I'll tell you, we got to have our priorities right. And the priority number one needs to be the presence of God. Presence of God. How much better will we be in our marriage if we prioritize the presence of God? You know what? That habit you're trying to break, you prioritize the presence of God in your life, you're going to have the power to say no to something you've never been able to say no to.
Yes.
But we got to keep Jesus, number one. And so Paul writes, he says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Yeah. You know, there's just some things that we think are so important. Who likes us? Who doesn't? Who liked our status? You know? We've gotten to where we're so busy, we're pinning it and hashtagging it and Instagramming it and Facebooking it and Twittering it. And, you know, we're so busy doing all that and thinking something's so important, and we're not making any time for Jesus. And then we wonder why nothing's working. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 to seek first the kingdom of God. You know what that means? We say, Lord, you're king. Have your way. Have your way, because in a kingdom, it's the king's way or no way. Amen. And so when we say, oh, I'm seeking God, well, are you? Are you seeking him and saying, seeking his kingdom? Lord, your way of doing things. What do you have to say about it? His kingdom and his righteousness. And then the Bible says, and all these things, those other things that we want changed in our life, he says, those will be added to us. But we got to seek God. We got to make the most of every opportunity we have. You know, there's a story in the Bible, in closing here, about Mary and Martha. Everybody know the story? And whenever Jesus says your name twice, it's probably not going to be good. You know? But the Bible says that Martha invited Jesus over to her house. And then while he was there, she was distracted and busy with many things. But Mary, her sister, sat at the feet of Jesus. And so Martha goes to Jesus and said, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? And Jesus says this, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. Let me read it. I don't want to mess it up. I did pretty good, though. He says, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. And that is my heart's cry for every single one of you, that you will choose what is better. Choose what's better. Jesus said there's only one thing that matters. Mary got that opportunity. Here's Jesus is literally in Martha's house, and she's in the kitchen. Jesus is there. And she's in the kitchen. And we sit there and say, man, I would never do that. You know what? We do it. Because you know what? Right here, every single service, Jesus is here. Come on. Amen. Amen. Amen? And we need to ask ourselves, where am I? Are you in the kitchen? Are you distracted? Are you goofing off? Are you writing down your grocery list? Now listen, I don't say that because I'm preaching. I say that because the anointing of God is flowing through me. If it wasn't, you need to find somebody else to do this job. But it is. And we need to make the most of this opportunity. I remember one of my Bible school teachers set us all straight. We had a boring teacher. I tell you, this guy was rough. It was hard. I won't name his name. Pastor Steve knows who I'm talking about. We were in that class, and we'd all be, I mean, it was like, I used to describe him, it'd be like watching TV and somebody just kept changing the channels. Like, as soon as you're starting, it'll be like, oh, change the channel. And it was just rough, hard to pay attention to him. A lot of people slept during his class, because it was the first class too, you know. And one of the big dogs from school came in one day and gave us all the what for. He said, listen, it doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter if they're not your cup of tea. It doesn't matter if you've heard it before. It doesn't matter if you know it. It doesn't matter if you can preach it better. It doesn't matter if anybody is preaching the Word of God. There is something for you to get. Yes. And it's up to you whether you get it. Yes. And so it doesn't matter if it's me, if it's Angel, if it's Norm, if it's Scott. It doesn't matter if it's Devon, if it's Chris, Pastor Steve. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's the person in your small group preaching the word. It doesn't matter. There's something for you to get. Amen. And we got to have a Mary attitude and say, you know what? I'm not going to be in the kitchen because what I need is going to come through the Word. And the Word of God's being spoken. I'm going to make the most of this opportunity. Amen? I'm going to make the most of it because I'm going to make the most of 2014. I tell you what, I'm going to push you this year. I'm going to push you to do what God's called you to do. I'm going to push you to be different. I'm going to push you to step out of your comfort zone. I'm going to push you to let go of stuff you need to let go of. I'm going to push you to make decisions that you've already made, but you keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I'm going to call you on the carpet on it and say, hey, how long are you going to play this game? How long are you going to play this game? I'll be here for you the whole time. The whole time you play it, I'll be here for you. But I'll tell you what, the longer you wait, the longer you play, the more damage you're doing. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. I'm tired of people sitting in my office and looking at me through tears going, I don't know how this happened. I know how it happened. You don't listen. That's the same way it happened with me when I was doing crazy stuff. I didn't listen. Thought I was different. Thought it wouldn't happen to me. Thought I had time. Let me tell you, time is short. Let's make the most of 2014. Let's make the most of it. There's no reason this can't be the best year. Let's all pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare and we decree today that 2014 is going to be a great year, the best year. Lord, we declare today that we will take care of things. That one thing that you've been stirring in us to do. Lord, that this is the year that we jump off the couch. This is the year that we make a change. This is the year that we stand up and say, enough, I give. I surrender all to you, Lord. This is the year. This is the year. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I just see it so big in my spirit. I see some of you stepping up and stepping out. I see you walking in the things that you've been longing for and looking for so long. I see you walking in them because you declared and put those distractions down, because you prioritized Jesus. I see you doing what's in your heart to do. I see those promotions coming. I see those books and those blogs and those teachings and those messages being preached. I see change in marriages. I see change in so many of you young people. I see change in some of you young people that are torn between the world and the church. You've got your foot in the club on Friday and your heart at church on Sunday, and you are torn in two. The Bible says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't live in both worlds. Jesus is saying, come. But I see you this year. I see you laying down some things and saying, that's it. I'm done. I'm serving Jesus. And I see you having the fulfillment that you're looking for. I do not see you missing that life. I see you loving the life you lead. Oh, I see it. I see your faces. I see you. I'm not going to call your name. I don't want to embarrass you, but I see so many of you. I see so many of you young people. Oh, you're so happy. You're so content. You're so fulfilled. You have the joy that you've been looking for. Oh, I see it. And I believe it. I believe it. I see many of you young people free from, I'll just say, addiction. You're free from it. And now you're going back and you're helping other people get free too. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see it. I see it. And I tell you what, I'm going to contend in the Spirit for it, for you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the best year, the best 2014. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. Well, we got a picnic to get to. Glory to God. Glory, glory. Let's have the ushers come down. We're going to receive a supernatural, humongous offering. You guys ready for that?